The history of the ordination charge goes all the way back to the New Testament. Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul charged Timothy to war a good warfare, to hold faith and a good conscience, to keep the commandment without spot, and of course, to preach the word. Tonight, I want to call your attention to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Paul's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 6, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast ordained." I want you to notice from that verse the preacher's Lord. He is a minister of Christ. The preacher is a God-called, God-made, and God-sustained man. Amen. Jeremy, you preach to people, but you preach for the Lord. You have nothing to prove and one to please. Live for an audience of one. I notice not only the preacher's Lord, I notice the preacher's label. He is a minister of the Lord Jesus. The word minister means a servant. So the pastor or preacher is not a sovereign or a savior or a celebrity. He is a shepherd and a servant. Amen. He's a guide, not a god. He does not lord over the sheep. He loves the sheep, and he leads them as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. I notice the pastor's labor. He seeks to be a good minister of Jesus Christ. And what makes a man a good minister? That's really what the books of 1 and 2 Timothy are all about. Under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle Paul writes to a young preacher so he might know what makes a good minister of Jesus Christ. I want to give you a few characteristics, and I charge you tonight to make these characteristics true to your life. In the first place, a good minister of Jesus Christ keeps a bent knee. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, if you will. "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Mark those words, first of all. Jeremy and Jonah, nothing is more important than your personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than that. You will never be much for God in public until you determine to be much with God in private. Mark 3:14 says, "And he, Jesus, ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach." Your first calling, your most important calling, is to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where it all begins. No man should ever go forth to preach until he has first been with Christ. Don't ever speak to men for God until you have spoken to God for men. The Puritan John Owen said, "A minister may fill his pews, his communion roll, the mouths of the public, but what that minister is on his knees in secret before God Almighty, that he is and no more." Someone else has said, "If you do not plow in the closet, you will not reap in the pulpit." So wake up in the morning and nourish yourself from the Word of God. Drink deeply and then pray. Pray a lot. Pray more than you think you should. Pray when you don't know what to do or you don't know what to preach. Pray more when you do know what to do and you think you do know what to preach. Pray. A preacher is first and foremost a man of prayer. Keep a bent knee. I notice this, a good minister of Jesus Christ keeps a bent knee, but he also keeps a clean life. The qualifications for the pastor are given to us in 1 Timothy chapter 3. I won't take the time to read them, but they can be summed up with one statement. A bishop then must be blameless. The word blameless does not mean perfect. It does mean above reproach. It means that by God's grace, you will not allow anything into your life that will bring shame to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. By my count, the New Testament lists over 40 qualifications for a pastor. 39 of those have to do with character. Only one is about giftedness, being apt to preach. That tells me that God is more concerned with godliness than giftedness. He's more concerned with your character than your competency. Your life is the greatest sermon you will preach, so keep it clean. Robert Murray McShane wrote a letter to a young pastor. And here's what he said. Do not forget the culture of the inner man. I mean of the heart. How diligently the cavalry officer keeps his saber clean and sharp. Every stain he rubs off with the greatest care. Remember, you are God's sword, his instrument. I trust a chosen vessel unto him to bear his name. In great measure, according to the purity and perfections of the instrument, will be the success. It is not great talents God blesses so much as great likeness to Jesus. A holy minister is an awful weapon in the hand of God. Be holy. Guard yourself against lust and greed and laziness and pride. Stay clean. Be holy. A good minister of Jesus Christ keeps a bent knee. He keeps a clean life. I notice this, he keeps an open Bible. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Look over at chapter 3 and verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Amen. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. When the leaders at the church of Jerusalem were being pulled in 1,000 different directions, they put their foot in the ground. They said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Those are the preacher's priorities. We're reminded tonight that the Bible is inspired by God, that it's inerrant, that it's sufficient, that it truly equips God's people for every good work. All God's people need to become all that God wants them to be is found in the pages of the Bible. The Bible is the textbook of the preacher. It's the operating manual of the local church. It is the final authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. The church will not be judged by social theories or academic journals. The church will not be judged by critics on social media or the political pundits on television. The church will not be judged by self-help philosophies or the latest pragmatic drivel at the Christian bookstore. The church will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Word of God. So, Jeremy, don't preach social theories or academic journals. Don't preach social media or politics. Don't preach self-help or pragmatism. Preach the Word. Do not just start with the Bible. Do not just use the Bible. Preach the Bible. Amen. Spurgeon said the pastor's calling is to feed the sheep, not entertain the goats. Preach the word and let the word do its work. Jeremy, the word of God is sincere milk, strong meat, sweet honey, a shining light, a slashing two-edged sword, a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. So serve the milk, carve the meat, let the honey flow. Shine the light, wield the sword, and swing the hammer. Preach the word. Amen. Be a man of the book. Amen. A good minister of Jesus Christ needs an open Bible. A good minister of Jesus Christ needs thick skin. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jeremy and Janaea, you are not children going to Disneyland. You are soldiers going to war. Right. And though it hurts my heart to even say it, there will be some hard times ahead of you. So be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Endure hardness as good soldiers. I remind you tonight that pain is temporary, but quitting lasts forever. The trials you face will transform you into more useful servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I could just give some practical advice, don't ever quit on a Monday. For that matter, don't quit on a Tuesday, a Wednesday, a Thursday, a Friday, a Saturday, or a Sunday either. And when you get knocked down, and you will get knocked down, remember the words of one of my mentors, Dr. Tom Farrell. Don't give up. Get up. Amen. A just man falls 7 times and riseth up again. Yes. Endure hardness as good soldiers. Amen. A good minister of Jesus Christ needs tough skin, but he also needs a tender heart. Paul called Timothy his dearly beloved son in the faith. Those are tender words, aren't they? He told the members at the churches of Thessalonica and Philippi that they were dear unto him. He told a church they were his crown and his joy. And may the people that you win to Christ, may the people that you preach to and serve, may they be able to say, I am dear to Brother Jeremy, and I am dear to Miss Jonea. You know, a shepherd smells like sheep. He spends time with sheep. And a preacher and pastor must be with his people. Your preaching will only go so far if people are not convinced that you truly love them. I used to think that what people needed from me was biblical insight or visionary leadership. What I've come to learn is what they really need and what they really want is love. There's no substitute for a pastor's heart. So love people. Love lost people. Love saved people. Love young people. Love old people. Love sick people. Love well people. Love people, and you will never lack a congregation, because everybody wants to be loved. And a pastor needs a tender, tender heart. I noticed this lastly. A good minister of Jesus Christ has a worthy goal. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at what Paul wrote in verse 6. He said, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." You know, Jeremy and Jonea, you have started so well. The goal is not to start well. The goal is to finish well. There is a faith for you to keep. There is a fight for you to fight. There is a race for you to run. And our goal, whether as preachers and preachers' wives or whether as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, is to stand before our Savior one day and hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Our goal is to lay our crowns at his nail-pierced feet and say, "By your grace, I kept the faith. I fought my fight. I ran my race." The Lord Jesus gave you his marching orders in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I think Dr. Don Sisk is one of the great missionary statesmen of our generation. And here's what he said. He said, if Matthew 28, 18 was not in the Bible, verses 19 through 20 would be impossible. Verse 18 is where Jesus says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Verses 19 and 20, he says, "Go ye therefore." If verse 18 wasn't in the Bible, verses 19 and 20 would be impossible. But because verse 18 is in the Bible, verses 19 and 20 are inevitable. You have involved yourself in the Great Commission, and because of that, you are partnered with omnipotence. Amen. As you drive away from us tonight and you board that plane in a few days, God will go with you. And He will never leave you or forsake you. And here's our promise to you tonight. While you obey the commission there, we are going to continue obeying the commission here. And one day, we're going to be together again around the throne of Jesus. Texans and Brazilians hand in hand. And we'll all sing the same song. The song the angels cannot sing. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. So Jeremy, to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, you need a bent knee, a clean life, an open book, thick skin, a tender heart, and a worthy goal.